Oregon is known as one of the most amazing tree fruit growing regions in the country. We've got amazing pears and things like cherries. The area that I serve, Central Oregon, is not one of those regions. The area I serve is located east of the Cascade Mountain Range. It's the high desert, so I just want to give you a sense of the native environment or landscape for the area that I'm serving in home horticulture. Our growing season is pretty short there. It's usually about a 90 to 100-day growing season. And one of the biggest challenges we have there is the fluctuation in day and evening temperatures throughout the growing season. We can have a 30-degree difference from morning to night there. We essentially don't have any frost date. You can get frost any day of the year there during the growing season. And so I'm just trying to build up the challenges we face in growing fruit trees. This is our demonstration garden in June, just to give you a sense. Here it is in July. No, I'm joking. This is a little bit of exaggeration. It feels like this is what it's like in July. We have gotten snow on July 4th there before. So it's a challenge for homeowners to get from the blossom to the actual fruit when it comes to growing apple trees. We've got two major challenges. One is getting to the fruit set because we often get frosted and we don't get any blossom set and or blossoms that make it through. And then also, if we do actually get to where we have fruit, we always, always, always end up with codling moth. And so we're fighting the same battle as everyone else is fighting across the country as far as codling moth being a national pest on fruit trees and apple trees. What I found is we had a lot of homeowners that, yay, I got my blossoms to get through this harsh weather. I have fruit starting to develop. Now what do I do about the wormy apples that I have? And so we wanted to come up with a program to help homeowners manage for this, given our short growing season. So not only does the weather that we have there affect the plant growth, it also affects when the life cycle of the codling moth was emerging. We've got tremendous information in other parts of the state related to codling moth management, but what I found is that information was not relevant to our area because we were much later behind in our life cycle of the codling moth, so we were not able to use that information readily because we were weeks behind when they were saying to manage at certain points during codling moth management. So how could we help our homeowners be more successful? Well, we have to do something locally that regionally specific. So the methods we used was going to be to develop a website that people could access anytime they wanted to and also have an opt-in where people would sign up to get email blasts that are going to be very, very timely as far as when to do what to manage for codling moth. We did a soft launch of this in 2015, started to accumulate names of people that wanted to know how to manage for the codling moth. The emails were going to include background information, lots of photographs, simple instructions on how to manage for codling moth. Prior to this project, what we were doing is we were sending people to the websites, we were sending them to those degree day models on the codling moth life cycle. But what I found is by the time people worked through those models, being your average homeowner, backyard gardener, our season was over by the time they got through the models on when to manage for what. So I thought we have to have a simpler way. We need to do the homework for them. We need to be monitoring the life cycle of the codling moth so we can just blast and say, here's the week to do this, here's the week to do that, this is what you need. So we were listing all of this in the emails and on the website. There's background information, like I said, photos, IPM strategies. By the way, I throw this photo in here. I found a new IPM strategy for codling moth management this summer when I adopted this dog. He was going up to my apple tree in the backyard, just eating the fruit right off of it, codling moth and all. That's an apple that he got. He thought it was funny to keep away. We're also including the cost of any of the tools or supplies you would need for the management, where to buy the materials locally in Central Oregon. We're a bit isolated where we're located. We don't have tons of stores and outlets. And then we had very simple dated action items on when to do what. This is an example of what we would send out. We would send out timely emails every couple weeks apart and just give them the moth status update, where we were at, and knowing when the moth was going to be active so you could start to manage for it. We would use the growing degree day models and phenology to determine when that was for our area in particular. We had our own monitoring devices set up in our demonstration garden. We had some people in the regional parts of the three counties that I serve monitoring at the same time. And then we were also visiting with our Oregon State entomologist on back and forth trying to figure out when we were going to see the codling moth emerge so that people could start to effectively manage for it. So a moth status update. We would also have action items. You can see I have some dates up here. So we are trying to be very, very targeted in saying, here's when you do what, here's where you buy the supplies, here's what it's going to cost you, here's the organic options, here's the chemical options, and so people could make informed decisions. We are also using petal drop as a way to determine when to do what. So we launched it in 2015. In 2016, we did a full launch, and then we did it again this year in 2017. Last fall, we did a survey, and we sent out a survey to find out how it was working for people. Our objectives in doing this project, Project Happy Apples, was to try and help increase participants' ability to recognize the codling moth damage, know when to use and monitor, and integrated pest management strategies. The survey we sent out through Qualtrics was an 11-question survey. We had 32 respondents. Most people have been managing for more than 2 or more years in the survey. I just wanted to throw in a few of the questions from the survey. This was a list of statements regarding the content of the email. Overall, I found the content of the email updates to be understandable. Most people agreed, or you could see we had over 93% of the folks agreed or strongly agreed in that statement. They found the emails to be useful in making pest management decisions, a very high percentage again, and making those decisions, 86%. And so I found that this was working as a tool to help people. Some other information, we found the photos and the emails to be useful. Really important, I think, to show people photos of what the moth looked like, what the potential stings look like. We were doing all of that really up-close information and showing those photos to help people make informed decisions. Overall, I found emails to be timely. Again, we had a high percentage of folks that agreed with that statement. We asked about their feelings as a participant, and to give you an example, again, overall, I believe I was successful in reducing the codling moth population in my yard as compared to taking no action. You could see we had 68% agree or strongly agree with that statement. Some of the other questions regarding their feelings as a participant. Overall, I believe my pest management practices were more environmentally friendly than they would have been prior to participating in Project Happy Apples. Again, we had over 62% agree or strongly agree with that statement. Prior to starting this project, my sense was that we had people just out there spraying willy-nilly because they just didn't know what to do and they were frustrated that they finally could get some fruit set there. I mean, really, we joke and say, if you get apples every 5 years, you're doing great in Central Oregon. So apples are the most likely fruit tree you're going to get to produce harvest. And if you get something every few years, it's pretty good there. So here are some other summaries of the survey results. 81% agreed or strongly agreed because of reading the emails. They found themselves having an increased level of confidence in making pest management decisions. We started to receive some verbal communication back as well that this was working well for people. It's always nice to hear back from people the success stories of how they're doing. 97% felt a slightly to much higher knowledge level knowing when to put up physical barriers for management. I think that's always fun too, to be able to introduce people to the other integrated pest management strategies and not just have them rely on chemical control. And so we are seeing people going, aha, I've never heard of bagging, or I've never heard of using cardboard around the trunk of the tree. So it's not that any of these practices were new or innovative, it's just that introducing them to people so their knowledge base grew on what they could be doing to try and prevent the codling moth. Some other results that were interesting. There was an increase. We were trying to measure if people were spending more or less time after participating in Project Happy Apples, and it looked like more time was spent managing for codling moths. So it did take people's time, but that was a good thing in that it resulted in effective management. Wanted to try and investigate if people were spending more or less money if they were participating in this project, and it looked like people were spending, the highest percentage of participants, 43%, were spending approximately the same amount of money. 39% of them spent more money managing for codling moth. also tried to measure in our survey results pesticide use for synthetic and organic pesticide use. And you can see we had some where there was an increase in using pesticide use. And there are some of the results on the organic insecticide use. So these questions, I felt like after I recorded them, I would need to dig into the questioning a little bit better on these to get some real good measures against prior and post-use participating in the project. I also just asked for them to list some practices, techniques, or ideas that were used, and here are some of the results that we got. As I mentioned, the bagging of apples, cardboard around the tree, improved knowledge of timing of spraying. It was just nice to see some positive feedback here and people that were participating in the project. Any additional comments? I like this one. How about, I totally agree with that. How about an easier way to control these buggers? We got some nice feedback. So I know we'll continue with this program and we'll try and pull it into some of the community ed classes that we're doing. I know the season was a good one for orchards, but have never had such healthy apples, pears, or grapes. I'm not sure where the grapes came in. They're not susceptible to calling moth, but that's okay. People just get excited when we get any kind of fruits or berries there. We're excited. So the research suggests that the project was successful in increasing participants' knowledge of pest identification, pest damage, of knowing when to purchase and use IPM strategies, and then helping people reduce the cottonleaf moth populations, which even though we're not a tree fruit growing region, I still feel and try to emphasize with our backyard gardeners that we have a responsibility to the state to not affect the state growing regions. And so we need to do our part in reducing that population base so that we're not spreading the cottonleaf moth around. Any questions? All right, thank you.